Welcome back to Spaces Unscripted. My name is Alyssa Esposito, and today we have a very special guest. We have Garrett Greco, who is a real estate entrepreneur, visionary, creative, husband, father, Tampa Bay native, host of one of my very favorite podcasts, The Tampa Bay Developer, and you're here. How do you do all of this? Do you have any time to do?
Oh my gosh, it is an effort, that's for sure. And then adding in the family aspect.
Well, and you're having another, right?
Another one, yeah.
Soon.
Another boy. So I've got a 20-month-old, and then my wife is due in a few months, so they'll be 2 years apart. Yeah, two boys.
That's perfect. I feel like that's a really good. Yeah, and then on top of it. Yeah, in a good way. You're excited.
Yeah, totally excited. I have fun in everything I do. That's my secret.
Are they? Do you involve them? Have you ever done an episode with your wife?
I have not. No, she, I don't know, would enjoy being in front of the camera and doing it. So I haven't asked her.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah. Maybe a little, I put a seed in your head just now. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for squeezing it in. And I know this is, we were talking about on our call and just now before we started rolling, Tampa's really just, there's a lot of us now doing this podcast thing.
100%.
And specifically where we're recording, there's just been really catalysts to help everybody getting going.
100%.
So are you noticing, what are some of the podcasts here that you're noticing? Or
The reason I came on your show is to support you. I want to do everything I can with any creative and podcasting in Tampa, because there's so many stories to tell here. And the more people that tell the stories, the more the stories can stay alive. Like all these old stories about history, like we talk about on my show, but the stuff that you talk about too, like you're in the creative space. You lived in LA. I think you said you started in New York as well, right?
Yeah, LA,
with your
New York.
Interior design.
Yeah.
Work. Yep. I don't know. I just think that it's super, super cool in a local area to have creative people just storytelling. I think that's the start of different ideas that amazing things come out of, whether it's like a business, whether it's, who knows, maybe a movie will be made and the background will be Tampa one day. And Tampa will have this, I don't know, cool thing to it that doesn't exist. And the only way all of that happens is with creative people helping each other.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I agree with you. I think for a long time, I was really scared to come back to Tampa because I was like, I just came from these two creative hubs. Yeah, what am I going to do? But you got to create it.
Not so bad. Right?
No, I love it here. Yeah. Are you kidding? Now I'm like, I'm never leaving. I grew up Palm Harbor, Dunedin. So I'm local, but I'm like, I feel bad to come back and tell people like, yeah, I'm from Tampa, when I was hesitant to come back.
Yeah, so, but I think a lot of people felt that way. Like before we went live, we were talking about Modern Media Group, which is the studio we're in now. A lot of those kids that used to go to the University of Tampa, they would pack up and leave and they would go back to the Northeast.
Yeah.
But now Tampa is such an awesome place. The weather, the airport, the downtown, the food scene is amazing here. The people are cool. They're all staying.
Yeah.
And they're all contributing to the economy. They're starting businesses like Modern Media Group. Yep. It's that didn't really have a lot of power like 5 plus 10 maybe years ago.
Yeah.
People would write Tampa off. The kids that would come to school here would leave. You had your old school businesses that have just been here forever. Now you've got this new energy and it's super, super cool to see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Miami comparison and all of that, but I think we have our own thing going on over here.
We've got our own thing.
So I want to kind of pivot to your background so I know you're native Tampa. So I know about your grandfather. He was at 50 and 56.
He was mayor for 4 terms. He was mayor from the late 1960s into the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And then he took 20 years off and worked in the private sector with the DeBartolo Corporation.
Wow.
So he was working in real estate. What he did for the DeBartolos was basically government relations. So he would go into different municipalities and negotiate things with that local government. At that time in the 1970s was like the big Florida shopping mall boom and all that sort of stuff. So he was helping them with that. And then he came back and was the mayor when I was a little kid from 95 to 2003.
Okay.
Something like that. So I grew up watching him be the mayor and it was fascinating and
awesome.
Cool. And I got to learn a lot about how the city works and it really connected me to the community. my great-great-grandparents came to this country from Sicily. They came to Tampa. A lot of people, a lot of Italians go to New York.
My family did,
And so many Italians and Sicilians went up there. But my family came here.
Wow.
And so we've been here for many generations. And partly because of my dad was a judge. My dad was a politician too. But just partly because of my dad's side of the family, I paid attention to a lot of the local stuff.
Got it.
But then also just my family being here for so long, I'm just super ingrained in the culture. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard I don't know what episode it was, but you were talking about, I think it was your 8th birthday.
Yeah.
And you it was the episode with your grandfather. Actually.
What was
and
it?
You went,
I got to have him back on.
Yeah.
That
God
was a
bless
couple
him.
Years ago. That's... Yeah. He's going to be 92 this year.
Wow.
He was born in Seminole Heights in 1933.
Wow.
He's got every story in the book about this place.
Wow.
But yeah, for my 8th birthday, my grandfather invited me to be the mayor for the day.
I love that.
You know, and for an 8-year-old kid, it was super cool. I got to meet the police chief and the fire chief and learn how the city was run. And it was just fascinating. That's like the coolest thing ever for a little 8-year-old boy.
Did you think back then, because I know with me, I was so shy. Like I was so, I was not a ham. Like I didn't want people to look at me. Could you ever see yourself doing this now if you were to look back?
I'm still a shy guy at heart, to tell you the truth. I don't really like a lot of the attention aspect of it. It's not really who I am, but I think it's a necessary part of business that I've learned to just manage and deal with. I think a lot of people struggle with being in front of people, giving a speech for sure, but also being on a microphone and a camera. It's intimidating.
Yeah.
And it adds like a visceral feeling within you. Yeah, it is a struggle.
Yeah.
So I deal with that too. But again, it's something, if you want to be creative, if you want to express your creativity, and certainly if you want to do business, you're going to have to do that sort of stuff.
Figure it out,
and so it was one of those things where I just had to rub my way through it, but work my way through
it. Fake it till you make it.
100%.
It's working.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you think that when you were young, that kind of started, you said you were so ingrained in it. Do you think that's what kind of started the bug of you wanting to go into real estate? Like, where did that come from? How did you get into
real estate? So my dad's side of the family was in politics and in law. And then my mom's side of the family was in real estate. They were, my mom and my grandmother were real estate agents. And my mom growing up used to work for a title company here called Bayshore Title Insurance Company. It still exists on Henderson Boulevard, south of the Outback right there. But my parents split when I was young. I was raised, let's say 80, 90% by my mom.
Okay.
She was a single mother. I was an only child. So I was just like hanging out with her all day on the weekends and after school and stuff like that.
So you saw
and she would take me around. She would take me to the title company. I would learn about a real estate closing.
Yeah.
She did the marketing for them. So she always had relationships with attorneys and realtors. And I just grew up watching the real estate side of the business. And then when I graduated college, I joined up with her. She was working at Michael Saunders and Company as an agent. She was doing pretty well, very well, actually. My mom didn't go to college. She was killing it for a woman who was just helping people buy and sell houses. And I joined up with her. That was just the natural thing I wanted to do. I always loved real estate. I actually found recently a letter I wrote to Stetson University when I was applying for colleges. So this was a while ago. I guess this was probably 2009. I was 17 years old and I put on, because Stetson asked you, like, where do you see yourself in 10 years? Colleges typically do that when they do the application. And I said, I want to be a real estate broker. I want to own duplexes.
Wow.
And looking back on that, it was like, man, it was always there just because I grew up with that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think we spoke a little bit about my brother and I, we're hand in hand with everything, but he had a similar, he was one of the first people I interviewed as well, but he had a similar story where I was going through, he did baseball for years and years. I was going through one of his journals that I found in our garage. And it said, I really want to be a professional base. He was like 8th grade. I really want to be a professional baseball player, but realistically that probably won't pan out. So I want to go into architecture. And I was like, what the hell?
That's eighth grade? Yeah, that's very intuitive.
I was over here like, I want to be a baker. Like I was not.
But
was
isn't
not.
That's what we all are. Like we're all still that person. Yeah. We're all these like children that have these ambitious ideas and are creative people. And then along the way, you realize stuff like your brother learned that very early. Honestly,
yeah, it's like, not me.
Along the way, you learn why you can't do something.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
So, like I wanted to be a lawyer. And by the time I was graduating college, my dad told me, I'm not paying for law school. You're going to have to get a student loan. Wow. The best thing you can do is be a state attorney and make 45 grand a year, or I can get you hooked up with the county and you can be a bailiff at the sheriff's office. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to do any of that. I want to create my own destiny. I want to be creative. I want to do business. But that's where all of this stuff starts, I think, for everyone, is like the ambitions you have when you're a child is still within you.
Yeah.
They just get suppressed over the years.
And then you find your way back.
And then you find, hopefully you find your way back. A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
But that's why I love this podcast thing I'm doing, because it's an art. I get to be creative. I get to have interesting conversations. I get to create content. It's fun.
Yeah.
And I think I always had a sort of creative, artistic side to me. And now I have this thing that I can do that allows me to express that childhood dream.
Yeah, yes. And channel it. That's awesome. So you've always had the real estate bug. It's always been there because 100%. It was, you were around it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So you purchased both residential and commercial?
Just commercial. Okay. Yeah.
And you just, you had your fourth, right? You just closed on your fourth.
Yeah, we just bought my fourth building. It's going to be, it was an old laundry facility in Riverside Heights, and we're going to turn it into really two options depending on what businesses we can negotiate a deal with, but it'll basically either be a single tenant restaurant, like food and beverage concept, or multi-tenant retail, two or three different retailers. So like a laundry, a UPS store, and a Smoothie King, something like that.
Got it.
But my whole real estate story is really two different things. One of them is being a broker. So we've stayed on the residential side, on that side of the business. So after college, I went to Florida State. Go Noles. Did you go to Florida State?
I didn't.
I feel like I talk to people all the time.
I think everybody, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Where
did you go to school?
I wished I would have went to Florida State. I went to like fashion college. I went to Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising, and I did interior design. But
in New York City? In LA.
In LA. But I didn't have the college thing. I wanted to go.
College for me, I hate to say this, but I was just there to have a good time
and
make sure I graduated. But what I ended up studying was political science, economics, and I got a general business minor.
Okay.
And so when I graduated school, I think I had a little bit more of a forward-thinking business mindset than my mom did. My mom didn't go to college. And when I joined up with her as a real estate agent, I just immediately saw flaws on the administration side of what she was doing. Basically, how that all works is you make a check as a real estate agent and you give a portion of it to your broker. The portion that you gave to your broker was pretty large 10 years ago. Oh. Now it's gone down because of Zillow and all these other things. It's getting harder and harder for a brokerage to find value. But I saw it immediately in my mom's business, and very quickly I convinced her and some people she was working with that I could get my broker's license, start our own company, go off on our own.
Smart.
Took a few years to make all that happen. But that's what we did. And today we have 20 associates. We had 30. Wow. I've been dialing down that part of the business because I'm focusing on other things.
Sure.
But that was a start. It was always helping people buying and selling homes. Right. At the same time, I was doing some investment stuff. We'd buy a house, we'd fix it up, we'd sell it. I'd buy a house, live in it for a few years and sell it.
Yep.
We would buy condominiums, fix them up and sell them. Ended up buying multiple condominiums, one after the other. Ended up owning a portfolio of 11.
Wow.
Those were actually Section 8 housing. That taught me a lot, working with the housing authority.
Definitely.
Now focusing on commercial real estate. And I've really found a passion in commercial real estate. Yep. Being creative, we'll buy a building, we'll totally renovate it, put a business in there.
That's awesome.
And move on to the next one. Yeah. So that's where we're at now is residential sales and then commercial real estate investing/redevelopment.
Got it. And I think on one of your, I always keep referencing the episodes because I genuinely do listen, but there was,
thank you for being a listener.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. There was one episode where you were mentioning like you would be interested in doing like a coffee shop maybe or something like that and bringing in a bakery, whatever. Do you think that's the dream is alive for that?
Here's the thing with that, right? Would I love to do it? 100%.
Yeah.
But you're talking about an entirely different business. Now I'm hiring people, firing people in a restaurant-esque capacity, different than I'm hiring and firing as a broker, because I do that on that side too. And of course, I have to fire contractors if they don't do a good job. But it's just a different business. I don't know anything about ordering sandwiches and coffees. And it's a very ambitious thing for us to take on. And we do have the opportunity to do it, but I don't know if it's the right time for it. Yep. It might be a more appropriate time to find an operator who's more experienced to take that space over. And then one day down the road when I have buku bucks, and my kids are grown up and I have more
then
time.
Then you can focus on it.
But it goes back to that. That's still a creative thing I want to do. Maybe I just don't do it
right now
in
second.
My life.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
I'm only 32. I have time.
You're
you know?
Young. You have lots to grow into. I know. I always think of these ideas too. And I'm like, we'll table it. We'll table it for later. Maybe not now. Maybe not podcast this, that, and then
you
also
don't
add
pile too much on. Especially when you have a family. Like I said earlier, my parents split when I was young, and my dad's side of the family was in politics, and my mom was a single working mom. I was an only child, so I was like alone a lot. Yep. I didn't get too much attention from my nuclear family. So I don't want that for my kids. Yeah. My family is very important to me, and I'll sacrifice opening up a coffee shop for a few years in order to spend more time with them.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Yeah.
How do you see, obviously, I didn't ask you, where in Tampa did you grow up? Were you?
Palmacia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So local.
San Juan and Concordia.
Okay.
Local.
Yeah. So
yeah, right south of Beta Bay.
Great. Yeah. Great. Awesome area.
Back then.
This is what I was going to ask you. So from when you were there to your kids now, or kid, but soon to be kids, what is the biggest wow that you're like, holy?
First of all, we were at south of Beta Bay on the corner of Concordia and San Juan. And across the street, there was duplexes that had, I don't know, janky individuals, nice people, but I'll put it this way. It wasn't cleaned up like it is today. Right. And then across the street, across Concordia, there was like a roofing company. Nothing wrong with the roofing company, but as a single mother, I could tell my mom was like, there's just always different characters around. We used to do our laundry next to the Circle K that was there. I don't know if that laundromat's still there, but just walking in the neighborhood, it was sketchy.
Wow.
You come close by. My mom's from Sarasota. She's not from a big city like Tampa and didn't really know how to navigate some of the characters that are out there.
Yeah.
So the change over the last 30 years is insane.
Insane.
Palmacia, South Tampa, people think like the streets are paved with gold now. It's like the nicest neighborhood. But it really was not like that when I was growing up. It's made a massive shift.
Yeah.
Really, the whole city has.
Yeah.
Tampa was, I don't want to call Tampa like a rundown city, but frankly, in the 90s, it was.
Well, that's what I had in my mind, like when I left.
Exactly.
My family and I left in 2010, 2011, something like that. But even at that point, we didn't have Yard House. Like we didn't have a lot going
on. Pre-meat market.
Yeah, no, we didn't. You know? We didn't have pre-meat market, pre-Hyde Park.
Pre-anything like
that. There was nothing here.
Yeah.
There was really nothing here. And I remember even when my brother used to have games in St. Pete, even going to St. Pete was like, you're going to St. Pete?
Oh,
or they would be coming to us and we'd be like, oh God,
they're
coming.
There's a bunch of retired people in St. Pete.
Yeah. And so I remember when my family came back, I was just like, God, why? And then immediately once I came, I was like, oh, it's not even remotely the same world.
It's been a quick shift. Yeah. Really, since COVID, it has been a massive increase in all this stuff we're dancing around. But Water Street was a real tipping point.
Yeah.
When they started that project and they put those restaurants in there and those businesses in there. And now you go and it's women with a $300 workout aloe outfit, people walking their chihuahua. Like, it's a different vibe.
Yeah.
For sure. That area was all warehouses and old little bars. And to say it's changed over the last few years would be an understatement.
Yeah.
It's been a transformation.
Well, it's funny to hear it from people out of state because I've heard even the difference. People in California. They used to call me a Floridian. They wouldn't call me a Floridian. They would call me a Floridian. And I was like, what the hell? That was the reputation of whatever. But
it still is.
It's a little bit. Like, we're trying.
Yeah.
But it's funny to hear people talk about Tampa now, even from my friends in California or people out of state. Like, you can hear the difference.
Oh, yeah.
From when I was.
It's cool. Like, we actually have some nice things to do now.
We do.
I think
it's bougie.
It is. It's bougie. Yeah. For sure. I don't have a problem with it. I just, some of the stuff that I have trouble with, like a small example is the Goodie, like a casual little spot you go to. It wasn't like the best food. I'm not saying it was A+. It was middle ground. But to me, that's what I would hate to lose. If everything is bougie, if I make walk on Bayshore and I'm not dressed appropriately, I want a little casual place. That's just me. But
I know. Hopefully they can keep some of the, we can keep a little bit of the charm.
Yeah.
And the heart, at least.
Hopefully.
So off of that, obviously COVID brought in such a surge of young people.
Oh yeah.
Especially young people. So what are you foreseeing in terms of, so we have all these new developments coming up, right? West Shore, they're talking about gas work. So do you think that we'll be able to, you know, like Austin, Texas just had a 16% drop in their rents because they had all the supply and then the demand wasn't.
Yeah.
So do you think that we're going to run into that next year or the year after when all of this
We're seeing
comes
it
in?
Right now. We're at about a 6 or 8% decrease in rent levels. A lot of people aren't feeling it because, first of all, that's not that much. But second of all, a lot of the landlords are not going to decrease your rent. You might see that if you move out of your place and you go to a cheaper place, you might be able to see a difference. But the landlord's not going to come back and be like, hey, I saw the news about supply.
I want to take $100 off your rent.
It's just not going to happen. So people aren't going to feel that effect. Now, they're going to feel it in Austin. You're going to feel it in Austin because people will leave the apartment complex and go move if they can save $500 a month. And those apartment complexes want to stay competitive with each other.
Yeah.
That's why you've seen that cool down in Austin. And the reason you've seen the cool down is the supply. We had an incredible amount of demand here in Tampa Bay, really all of Florida. And we just didn't have the supply to keep up with the demand. Yep. Therefore, the prices went up. What you've seen since really COVID is a massive amount of apartments being built, meaning the supply, also other single family homes, townhomes, et cetera. Sure. But you have this massive wave of supply, massive construction wave, but our demand has tapered off. So because you have more supply and the same amount of demand, your price level can cool off a little bit. So we have a 6 to 8% decrease in rent. Again, nothing crazy, but it's happening. We actually need more supply though. We need more supply in appropriate areas. Cause back to the, did we go live when we were talking about young people in University of Tampa? I can't remember if we talked about that before.
I think it might've been before.
But the challenge with getting young entrepreneurs and just ambitious people in general to contribute to our economy, you gotta have an adequate place for them to live for an appropriate price.
Yeah.
And if it's super expensive, people are just gonna move. I know so many kids that graduated UT that were like, yeah, I can't find housing in Tampa. I'm going to move to Charleston. And what a shame to lose those bright young people that are going to go contribute to a different city. So it's going to happen. You're going to see a cool off, but I don't know that it's enough to really be where we need to be.
Yeah. Okay.
We need to hold these rents steady for a while because our wages are not that high here in Tampa. Like some of the big jobs in Florida are not in Tampa. You got to go to different markets to find those big positions.
Do you think that these big tech companies, do you think they're going to catch the wave of being like, oh, Tampa? Do you think that we're going to get any of that?
You've seen a little bit of it. You've got some big companies here in cybersecurity. Know before. There's a few different companies. There is a growing tech scene. The cool thing about the world today is you can live anywhere. You don't have to go to Silicon Valley to do tech. You can do it anywhere. Austin has seen a massive increase in the tech scene. I think it is happening here, but we need more of it. We need more big business to support wage growth so that these rents are not so far apart from what people make.
Because right now it feels a little creeping to Miami prices, but the wages are not matching.
You can't be paying Miami prices if you're in Tampa.
No.
You know, it doesn't have the same amenities or same opportunities.
Yeah.
Kiki on the River.
I know, we don't, which I'm not mad about.
I'm okay.
Yeah, we have Salt Shack.
Yeah.
We're participating in like an urban sprawl, right? So we're going out more like Atlanta instead of New York going up. There's all this traffic on 275, all this traffic on I-4. I'm noticing that everybody's moving downtown because it's fun and there's all this stuff going on. You have Emily Arena, you have bars, clubs, whatever.
100%.
But the jobs that I'm seeing aren't necessarily in downtown. So it's this backwards. We're going to live in downtown, but then we're going to go out to wherever to go to our office or to go to work. What do you think about that? Or do you think I'm completely wrong? And you're like, nah.
I do see what you're saying, but I'll put it to you this way. I don't like it because you asked what I think, right? Like, I don't like it. I think the suburban model is very antiquated. I think for a couple reasons, it's actually detrimental to our state. I used to drive. So back to my childhood, right? I told you that my parents split and I was raised mostly by my mom, right? So my mom, after that shooting and all that other stuff I talked about, different pre-meat market Tampa, right?
Hey, meat market.
So my mom and I moved to Sarasota. So okay. I would come up like every weekend and visit my dad and see my dad's side of the family and all that. Going from Tampa to Sarasota the entire way was pasture land, rural area, cattle, citrus farms, all that sort of stuff. Now you drive from Tampa to Sarasota, it's all one city.
Yeah.
And so the suburban aspect of our state and our region right here has destroyed the natural environment. I hate to see that. I understand people need a place to live. You got to have growth. It's got to go somewhere. But the suburban nature of our region is hurting us in many ways. The first one's the environment. Like, I hate to see all the clear cutting and all these beautiful pastures get paved over. It's also screwing up our stormwater drainage system too. You just saw like areas that weren't even in flood zones are flooding because they've completely overbuilt all of the natural wetland space, all the natural pasture land where the water would typically flow into the ground. Now there's pavement everywhere. And then also too, just the way people live, like when you park all these gated communities and all these homes out in the suburbs, where do people, I need a dozen eggs. Okay, you got to get in your car and go drive. If we're all on the road trying to find all of our goods and services, you're going to have traffic till the end of time.
Yeah.
So I just think it's this antiquated model of living. I think more young people want to live, like you said, in downtown.
Yeah.
They want walkability. They want economic opportunity. And I don't even think it's young people. I actually think just people are moving towards that type of lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I think the city should really understand that and focus on that and prepare for it. I'm not moving to the suburbs. I don't know about you. No. That life doesn't appeal to me. Yeah. I want to be in the action. I think a lot of people do.
If I were to say Palm Harbor to somebody who's in LA, they're going to be like, what? Exactly. Or Dunedin. If somebody tries to read that off, they're like, Dunedin. But talking to people outside and hearing them kind of group us together with St. Pete. And it's interesting being on our end because St. Pete, Tampa, we are two different complete beasts.
Oh yeah.
So what do you foresee happening with that? With maybe the Rays are coming here, maybe they're not. I know that's a whole conversation. Well, we could touch on that.
Who did I just talk to? Yeah, I did an episode with Tampa City Councilman Alan Clendenin. And he was kind of weird about that.
Really?
And I don't,
in a good way?
Just like very misty.
Like
alluded to like there's something there.
Ooh.
And I've heard that from a few different people.
So what do you think? And if you and if it does, where do you think
I hope,
put it?
Right? Like I hope. Here's the thing about Tampa. We have the space. So Water Street, right? SPP owns acres and acres in downtown Tampa, right? You could do it near the current Amalie Arena. You've got space there. Daryl Shaw with his gas works, Ybor Harbor development. What is that? 60, 80 acres, something like that. You got the space there. Blake High School, right on the river, right? Yeah. Across the river from Armature Works, right there with a view of downtown. You could do it there. You just need to find a place for the high school. So it's like, we've got, or Raymond James.
I was going
to
say,
on Raymond James.
And make it like,
maybe that's the most appropriate traffic. And it's in between here and St. Pete.
And in Philly, they have that sports complex. That's
exactly.
Like, kind of have that going on. So we wouldn't necessarily have that, but it could be something similar.
I'm hopeful, but I don't think the ownership, it seems like the ownership doesn't care. It seems like the ownership wants the best deal for them, which at the end of the day, it's a business. Why shouldn't they? But I also think that they've burned some bridges here locally. And I'm not entirely sure that the deals and the conversations they've had with the community in St. Pete, I don't think that they're on the same page anymore. I think the people of St. Pete are like, you know what? They're like kind of, I think the relationships turn sour. And out of that could come an opportunity where we get the raise over here. We already have them for a season at Steinbrenner Field.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Little beta test of how it's going to go. I'm trying to go bring my family, get some hot dogs, and make a thing out of it.
Make a thing out of it, and it'd be close. Cool.
Yeah. But I think to your question, like, yeah, it's two different cities. St. Pete has way more of an arts and culture scene. They've got all the kombucha kava shops on every corner. There's 50 different coffee shops and all these different businesses. These creative types are over in St. Pete. Tampa's more metropolitan, more business, more city feel. Mm-hmm. The beauty of it is we're in the same region and we're right across a bridge. You can get both, which I think is super cool.
So you like the fact that you don't have that rivalry of St. Pete.
I want the city of Tampa to always have a voice mm-hmm. and the biggest seat at the table, because we are the biggest city and we are the economic engine of our region, and we've got the airport and all the weight and all that sort of stuff. So I see what you're saying about, like, when people group us together, oh, you're from Tampa Bay? Like, dude, Tampa Bay is that's the water. Like, fish live in Tampa Bay, right? Yes. People live in Tampa.
Yes.
So I get what you're saying with that, but from a regional perspective, I think it's appropriate for us to band together, because that's how we can get some good stuff done for all of us. If we all get together as 3.5-4 million people with multiple Clearwater, all these different cities, then we can more easily get big stuff done. We can more easily talk to some big tech company and convince them to move here, because right. we're coming to the table as a region.
Yeah. So you see a good thing, yeah. and it could on a smaller scale be something like the Twin Cities, like yeah. Minneapolis and
Dallas and Fort Worth.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Obviously we have more distance between the Twins. They're like 7 miles apart. And I think, what are we to St. Pete? I don't even know, but
it's pretty damn close. They're super close though, right?
Yeah. They're 7 miles, which is crazy. It's insane. Almost like it's the same thing.
We're pretty close though.
Yeah.
We can't be more than like
30. I don't know. I didn't look at it, but
I did that freaking Gasparilla race.
The 15K. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh,
we basically ran from downtown Tampa all the way down Bayshore to Gandy and back. It was like what's a 15K? Like 9.3 miles.
Sure.
So if I'm gonna judge that distance, I've never been a runner. That was fun. But if I'm gonna judge that, maybe we're 10 miles apart.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's pretty close.
I think that we both offer.
I think it's a symbiotic relationship.
Okay. Now, good.
I think that we are different in just the right way, where when we come together, it's this
powerful,
cool thing where, hey, anyone can fit in here. We got the beach, we got the culture, we got the city metropolitan vibe. I think it's cool to have it all around one body of water, you know?
And that's where I was going with, we were talking about people wanting to live in the city. We have downtown St. Pete and we have downtown Tampa.
They've got some game on us though. St. Pete's downtown is sweet.
St. Pete's downtown.
They blow us out of the water.
And
they really do.
I hate to say it. I'm so sorry to say it, but I think it's more fun to go.
I don't think it's a crazy, I think you're right. Like I think St. Pete's downtown blows Tampa's downtown out of the water.
Yeah.
Central Avenue is insane. Like miles of endless businesses, local businesses too, by the way.
Yeah.
And then they've got all these cross streets. They have an incredible waterfront park. The museums, the pier, like their downtown is freaking sick. We're going to overtake them one day.
Yeah, one day. Okay. But for now, I'm happy to hear that you don't have that.
No animosity.
Nice. We'll share everybody.
Yeah. There's enough to go around.
Selfishly, I wanted to ask you these questions because obviously I'm passionate about Tampa too. And who better to ask? What do you think of the whole Brightline? Do you think that's going to happen?
I think it'll happen. It's just, the thing is, we already have rail service. We already have this Amtrak system. You can take a train from downtown Tampa to Lakeland to Orlando. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to take it. I've talked to my producer.
I didn't even know this was a thing.
I'm like, exactly.
You should do a video.
Like, we have light rail in Tampa. Mm-hmm. Let's use it and see what the experience is.
You should.
I'm going to go through that.
Where
process.
Is it out of?
Tampa Union Station.
And is that, do you think that's where they would put Brightline?
No, they can't do it there. What they'll do is they'll use the interstate system. They'll probably use the right of way and on I-4 and come into downtown where, you know what Malfunction Junction is? The I-4 275.
Right, okay.
Downtown, that big junction.
I was wondering if there was a name for it.
Malfunction Junction.
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay, yeah. Because I was driving through there with my mom and I'm like, there has to be some sort of a name. I didn't know that. That's amazing.
But that, you'd have the train come in there and they've talked about dropping it off in Ybor, which would be really cool because then you could connect with the trolley and Tampa Union Station. Wherever it gets off, you kind of want activity around it. The whole challenge with trains in America is when you get on the train and get to where you're going, you still have to get in a freaking car. Yeah. And then it's, I could have drove here in my own car.
Yeah.
So wherever it ends up, it's got to be in a place that is cohesive and connected to everything else. I think it'll happen. Brightline's had issues. There's the stigma out there with, you talked about, what did you say? Floridians. Which, we got some crazy people on the roads here.
We do. We have Florida Man.
We got Grandma, New Yorker, crazy lady on her phone from California, all on the same road. People aren't paying attention. And then you got a new train that no one's thinking about. So there's like a cultural kind of thing there, which we need to get used to. I think it'll happen. It's just going to take time.
Going back to the podcast.
Uh-huh.
So was this, I, Was this something that you just, I know on a couple episodes you're like, I was just expecting to have fun with this. Yeah. What expectations versus what it turned into? What are we looking at?
The reason I started
prep me
podcast. No, first of all, just in general, you got to have fun with it. Like talking to people, and you have to really enjoy it or else you'll just stop doing it, because there's going to be a long process where no one listens. And I started out with that. I just always had something in me that wanted to do some sort of a radio show. I don't know why. And the reason why I started my show was I wanted to do some sort of marketing for my real estate company. You've probably seen like videos of realtors on TikTok pointing at different things.
And yeah.
I didn't really want to do that. I wanted to do something deeper and educational and have conversations about real estate. And that's how I started out. And I just started out with some friends in the industry. I'm trying to think of the first government official I had on. I think it was Tampa City Councilman Guido Maniscalco was the first guy, but it all happened quick. I've only been doing it two years. I didn't set out with the goal of it being where it's at. But again, I just loved having the conversations about Tampa because I just love this city. I want to be a part of the growth. I'm in business here. I'm raising a family here. I have a vested interest in the success of our community. Yeah. So I think it all just came natural. But I would say the reason why it's successful is because I enjoy it. And so it was never a chore. I just did it because I loved it. And I love having the conversations. And that's why I still do it. And I don't make money from it. I am starting sponsorships and starting part of it to sustain it and to keep it going. Sure. But I've just done it because I've loved it. And I think that's the secret sauce right there. You got to really enjoy it.
Did you have a moment where you were like, oh, wow. Okay. This is the thing. This is really
popular, like the popular aspect
of it. Where it kind of went from, I'm doing it and not a ton of people are watching and la la, to, oh, this is like a thing.
I had a grand opening of a real estate office. So my whole idea with my brokerage was to expand up here and build a really professional residential brokerage. And so I started hiring agents. We got up to 18 people here in the Tampa office. Wow. I think I started the show, let's say like February, and I did a grand opening at my office in April. And so that's only a few months.
Yeah.
And at that grand opening, 4 or 5 people were like, oh, dude, the podcast.
I'm telling you, you're a local celebrity.
Yeah, but this was like 2 years ago. I'm thinking in my head, like, who the hell pays attention? First of all, who's so much of a nerd that wants to listen to all these technical details about Tampa. Everything we talk about? But maybe because no one else is talking about it. It's the only platform where we really dig into some of this stuff. And on the local news, you can only get so far. Right. And the Business Journal is great for what they do, but it's not long form conversations that dig into the details, that has a host that kind of doesn't care what he says. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Unfiltered.
Free. Yeah.
Yeah. Unscripted.
Unscripted. Yeah. I was like,
exactly. Unscripted. No, I thought for a second. I was like, wait, what's my name? wait a minute.
I do like your name though. It's cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
You wanted to go more like in interior design.
Yeah. I
have a no filtered conversation about that.
Yeah. I wanted to blend both of my backgrounds because I spent so much time in the entertainment industry just trying to do acting. And that industry specifically, but I'm sure a lot of others, it makes you feel like you can't do anything else, because if you brand yourself as something different, like you're done. Like you're not an actor anymore. You're not in the entertainment industry anymore because now you're an interior designer. So I really struggled with that because I really loved interior design and I need to pay the bills and I need to have a real job, and acting can take so much out of you.
So people would say, are you in or are you out?
Yeah.
Are you trying to do this?
Exactly. And you're worrying about.
But isn't that so common in that industry?
It is.
Aren't people servers?
People are doing, people are doing a ton of other things.
Survive.
But for me, I think I found it scary to find something that I was almost like equally passionate about, because my whole life I had been doing this one thing and I was chasing it. And then when I transitioned to the interior design, I was like, oh, wait. I'm liking that. And you go through seasons where maybe one, the other, they 100%. Flow. But so for a while, I almost felt like I needed to completely remove myself from the entertainment industry because now I'm doing interior design. And then I came back to it and I was like, I don't have to do one or the other. And
this is kind of what this is.
And
though.
This is, I mean, it this marries
is what
both.
We're doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's what's cool about today.
Yeah.
Before, right, you had to go a certain route.
Yeah.
If you wanted to be an actress or be a creative person or be an artist, you had to go through those traditional routes. Today, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Exactly.
Like, you could be a person that does sketch work and then integrates interior design within your sketches. Yeah. Like, how many people on Instagram and on all these social platforms are creative people that have millions of followers that are uber successful, but for whatever reason would have never had a shot in the traditional, like, acting industry?
Exactly.
That's what's cool about today is, like, I've found this thing where I can be creative, create content, have this podcast, grow this Instagram page and our different social channels and, like, just have fun with it, but then also do business at the same time.
Yeah.
If I wanted to be in a creative, I probably would have had to move to LA. But what the hell am I going to do?
The scary thing too, like, leaving LA was so scary. You feel trapped. You feel really, and COVID helped because everything became self-taped. Your auditions were all on, I could do them from my living room because nobody was going in to audition anymore. And they've kept that. I still get TV and film auditions and I'm doing them out of my apartment. Cool. It did change, but it was a really weird pivot. So I noticed, I'm like, everybody has these weird pivots. Like, everybody, you're doing both. Look, you're doing real estate. You started doing the podcast. Like, there are these pivots and it's okay to do it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to create a space where people can talk about.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Several cool. different creative things. And I at first I was like, do I do a podcast that's about interior design only? No. Mm-hmm. Do I do a podcast that's only about the entertainment industry? No, because it's not authentic to me. So
you have to figure out, and I think you've done it, where you gotta be genuinely passionate about what you're talking about. If you can figure out a way to marry those two things where you find an interesting subject that you are interested in and you're engaging in a conversation with someone, the people listening love that. Yeah. No one wants to hear anymore of these things. 60 minutes, it's bullshit. You know what the, can I cuss?
Yeah.
You know what the guy's gonna say before he's gonna say it, because it's such a scripted monologue that you hear the same thing on a speech or in a news article or in a long form interview like 60 Minutes. Yep. With what we're doing right now is a genuine conversation where the person listening can actually know who the hell is this person.
Yep.
And I think that's the reason why my show has been successful or popular, whatever you'd want to call it, is because I'm having politicians on, I'm having people that are at the forefront of our challenges of our region, having people that are in charge of the transportation authorities, the port, right, the airport, all these different things, and having an hour and a half, 2 hour conversation with them, where the hell are you going to find that? It's almost like I get to have coffee or I get to have a meeting with these people and ask whatever the hell I want to ask as coming from, like, a curiosity standpoint. And guess what? The audience is right there with me.
Yep.
So how cool for them to almost be in the room with me, totally unfiltered, totally uncut. Yeah. We've never edited a podcast, never had to do that. Wow. I think one time I had a guest on and she was uncomfortable. She made a mistake in something she said.
Okay.
And it was just a small word. It was a little picky thing that she felt she thought about it after. Yeah, it was one of those things. And out of respect for her, I was like, okay, we can
do whatever. Different.
It was something very small. Yeah. I think that's the only time we've ever edited. And that was in the very beginning. And today, I don't even know if I'd do that, because I think you can't bullshit people anymore. Yeah. Like, we are in a world where a genuine person will be seen immediately. And someone that's full of shit will be also seen immediately. You can spot it so quick. And the days of these politicians or business people that try to go under the radar and do shady things are just not going to make it.
Yeah.
And the only thing that will matter is being real and being genuine. And I think that's what this platform is. It's just a straight up conversation. That's it.
Yeah.
Turn the mics on, turn the cameras on, let's roll.
It's exciting. I'm realizing how many people I have to, oh my God, I'm so excited because I have so many people that I've met. And I'm like, wait, it's been so cool. And honestly, there hasn't been a ton of people that have been resistant to it.
I'm so happy because
oh my gosh, it's exciting.
Like, sure, I'll do it.
People love it. And I thought that I was going to be met with so much more. No, I don't want to do it. So every time I've been getting people there, it's been so exciting, but I'm also surprised. But I guess people love to have these.
You know what though? 5 or 10 years from now, that won't be the case.
Yeah.
When this is more of a mainstream format, people will get more selective. But because it's in the beginning, people are like, what is it? Yeah. Oh, a podcast? Okay, I'll do it. Never been on one before. All right, cool.
And it's not, I always say this, with the entertainment industry I got so used to for years, you're almost selling yourself, like you're selling your face. You're like, hey, put me on a show. Hey, and everything you do is you're trying to be strategic in the way that you're like, who can I meet? What can I do? And can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? And yeah. This is the opposite. This is like, I want to know about you. I want to hear about you. So I'm not trying to.
What
so
you're
it's
describing
great.
Is so far away from artistry and creativity.
Which is ironic.
If all you're worried about is the director that's viewing me today likes vanilla latte, so I'm going to bring a vanilla latte.
Exactly.
You know, it's important in business to do that. But the point is, you're getting away from what that job is,
yes.
Which is a true creative and an actress tries to portray an image to the audience and sell a character. How are you selling anything if you're worried about all this other shit you just described? So I actually think this sort of format will bring back creativity. Like, how many good potential actors or actresses were lost in the system you're talking
about?
Oh my
God.
Just because of BS.
Oh my God.
Not even because they weren't talented, not because they weren't good looking, not because of anything, only because of,
yes,
what would you call it? Like the bureaucracy, the industrial complex of the creative world that once was. How many people did not get to succeed because they were dealing with all that stuff?
That's exactly, that was my epiphany.
Now you get to circumvent the whole system and do your own thing.
I met this guy. My mom is very like, go meet this person, go talk to this person, since I'm very young, which is great because now I'm like, I'll talk to anybody. But when I was young, she wanted me to go into this. She goes, go on LinkedIn and see who you can talk to. Just pick their brain in the industry, not on the acting side, but on the other side, the producing side, the this side. Learn about it. Learn. So I was like 16 or 17 years old, and I found the head of programming at NBC. And I messaged him on LinkedIn and I was like, hi, can I come in for a meeting? And he said, yeah. He was like, sure, because people love to, they love to talk. I'm not asking him to put me on a show. I just wanted to learn about the industry. And he told me, you are going to feel a change in your career and in your life when you create something yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to find what you want to create yourself, what you're passionate about and what you want to create. And I was like, okay. I don't want to produce. I don't want to be on YouTube. I don't want to do this. So it went in one ear and out the other at the time. But circling back to now, I'm like, this is what he meant. This is it. This 100%. Is what he meant. So I owe him a very big thank you. But
so you were only 16 or 17.
I was like 16 or 17.
Wow. For him to meet with you, that's super cool.
Oh my gosh. And he gave me the book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. He gave me the book. I still have it. And he was like, I want you to read this. I was like, great.
I think I read that one.
But so that's where this came from.
Yeah.
But it's been a journey. Even just, I wanted to do it. There's a saying for it, but I don't know what it is. I heard it recently and I was like, I have to remember that. You're almost trying to make it so perfect that you won't ever do it. And I always fall victim to that.
People do that. Analysis paralysis.
That's exactly what it is.
I still do that today.
Analysis paralysis. Yep.
I don't know. People have different words for it. Anal, whatever.
Yeah.
But when you're creating something, you do want it to look and feel a certain way because creating it's interesting. I just listened to a podcast yesterday. I forgot the name of the guest. It was on Joe Rogan. I think he's a director, but he was talking about how being creative is actually a gift from God. And when you create, you're very close to God because what you're really doing, and I'm not like hugely religious. So you could even, if you're listening, call it the universe, whatever, you know, whatever your God is, right? But he was talking about how you're transferring data from your brain, your ideas, your thoughts, your ambitions, all these visions you have, your dreams, your goals, and you're turning it into reality. Like it's magic.
Wow, I haven't heard that.
And so when you're doing that, you're close to God, right? It's like this very powerful thing you do with creativity. And if you're not living your true creativity, if you get stuck in this trap of moving forward without thinking about certain things, it's actually detrimental to your success. So you don't want to have analysis paralysis, but you don't want to have the pursuit of perfection necessarily, but you definitely want to live what you believe people want to see from you.
I haven't heard that. That's awesome. That's crazy that you're saying it because I've had a lot of
well,
that.
When you embark on a journey like this, it's what am I even doing?
Even the way that this came, I was like searching. Mm-hmm. I need to do something. I feel like I need to do something creative, and just even the way that I like was like, oh my God, wait, I need to start a pod. It just,
whoop. It came to you.
It came to you. Yeah. And I think a lot of it was being inspired.
Where does that come from?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing is like, why was that just plunked in my head?
It's interesting, but I also think it's always inside of us. Like for whatever reason, when we're children, we have ambitions and we have goals. You kind of always wanted to be an artist, an actress, something in that world. And now all of a sudden podcasting, because of technology and the times and all this stuff, it's available for you and boom, you've stepped right into it.
I'm learning as I go. It's crazy. But I did get to that point where I was like, I have to just start it. Cause it was like 9 months of me just being like, Amy, okay, maybe. And then I hit a point in January where I was like, we gotta get this going. This needs to really.
Just freaking do it. And remember that in the beginning, you're gonna have 7 listeners anyway.
No, exactly.
That's
a little less scary actually. It's
way less scary.
Yeah, you're like, no one's
all the time. Just yesterday, I said something on the show, and in my head, I was like, I shouldn't have said that. That was bad. It's not crazy, but maybe it's getting there on a local level. I don't know.
Oh, no. I said it twice already since you've been sitting here. You're a local celebrity. I used to work at a restaurant in Beverly Hills. We used to have huge people come in, and I didn't react, but we had Buddy Velastro, the cake boss, come in, and I was in tears. I was like, I love you.
Yeah. Talk about celebrity. A weird niche guy that had a passion for baking and then found
his... Look at what he did.
Exactly.
Nicest guy in the world, too.
Exactly.
Like, but... Leonardo DiCaprio, Buddy Velastro. I was like, I've loved you. He's all right, kid, you're a weirdo.
And again, it's not that part of it is weird because I'm not this like overtly want to be on a stage type guy, to be honest. But again.
But that's why it works.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. I was at a coffee shop, thought I was totally inconspicuous, ball cap, glasses, playing low key, was with my wife and my baby. And some dude in traffic stops his car, his truck, rolls down the window, TBD pod, keep it up, bro.
I'm like,
bro, how do you know?
I love, you're like, just having my coffee. Don't look at me.
I guess it just comes with the
territory,
but it comes with the art of the creating of the content. If you're creating this stuff and people love it and people watch it, then people know who you are.
Also, I heard you were talking about the name TBD pod and you were like, I don't know. I think that's great. I think TBD pod, I like the name.
It might hold me back because if it's Tampa Bay Developer Podcast, how do I talk about
Can you just issue? Do TBD? Like I just guess. Shorten it?
We've talked about that. If we wanted to go broader, my ambitions only lie in our region and in our city. I really don't care about doing anything bigger than that. But at the same time, it would be cool to talk to the head of the federal Department of Transportation and dig into the same subjects I talk about, but at a broader level. So that would be cool. And I don't know if the name holds me back, but the name was just an Instagram handle. I'm not a huge fan of the name. The only reason I maybe would have picked a different name, but 2 years before I started the podcast, I wanted to start an Instagram page and highlight some of the houses we were fixing up and the investments I was doing and the portfolio of Section 8 housing and all that sort of stuff. And I also wanted to put up some stuff about how I felt about the city, all the same stuff I talk about on the show. And I was starting an Instagram page and I was Tampa Real Estate. Okay, that's go through all the
Tampa dot real estate.
Tampa dot real estate. But I didn't want that though. I wanted a clean name. And I typed Tampa Bay Developer. And the little green check came up.
You're like,
and I was like, what?
Golden.
Tampa Bay Developers been taken with all the stuff going on. I was like, I got to take that. So for 2 years, I just posted on that. You can even scroll back and see just some of the projects I was working on. I would post a picture of a new park the city put up. And I'd be like, this is a great space of public use. And I love the wide sidewalk. I just talk about the same thing I talk about on the show. And I did that for 2 years. And then I started the podcast. And it was like, I have the name Tampa Bay Developer.
Might as well.
That's the page. So it's the Tampa Bay Developer Podcast.
So that's where it was born.
Yeah, that's where the name came from. And the name, like, I'm not even a developer. Like, it doesn't even make sense. It kind of sticks and people know it. And so I don't want to say I'm trapped with it. Like, it's
I think it is what it is. TBD, to be determined. I think TBD.
I don't know. I'd be curious to know what people think. Maybe I'll put something up on the Instagram.
A little poll.
What do you guys think of the name? Because people hear the name and they're like, what? Oh, you're a developer? Yeah. No, I'm not a developer.
I got the green check with the name.
I guess I'm about to be technically a developer with this new project I was talking about. It's more of an adaptive reuse redevelopment if you want to get technical. But my ambition truly is to do the Water Street, the Gas Works, these incredibly creative spaces. My true end career passion is these huge, big projects, like a mixed use beautiful building you'd see in New York City. Just something really,
I bet
ambitious.
You will.
The problem, though, is it takes a lot of money to get there and a lot of things in between. So.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
I definitely think you'll get there. And hopefully I'll have the opportunity to do some design or something with you someday.
There we go. We'll work together.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do a podcast on that. When we're 90 years old.
Exactly. Yeah, we're still doing podcasts. Thank you for being here. I'm so grateful for you, not only for taking the time to talk with me, but just for giving me the inspiration to even do this.
Because it really,
you did have a huge play in me starting this. So I appreciate you so much.
I'm an early pioneer locally, maybe?
Yeah, no, I think so.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
And I will say thank you for doing this because more people need to do it. More conversations need to be had. More creative people in Tampa, young, ambitious people contributing to our city is a good thing. So thank you. Yeah.
Of course. Thank you for being here. Closing question, I ask everybody. What would you say if you were talking to young Garrett, one piece of advice that you can give, or just a young person who's looking at you and saying, I want to be
just,
him when
just breathe. You know what I mean? It's all going to work out. I think when you're young and ambitious, or even just growing up and trying to make it happen in your life, and you're navigating all the stuff that comes with being in middle school and high school and college and the social aspects of it while trying to figure out what the hell you want to do with your life, it's daunting.
Yeah.
It's hard to deal with. Just breathe. It's all going to work out. You have time. You can screw up. It's okay. Just learn and move on and eventually try to figure out a way to do what you want to do. Enjoy what you're doing. And that's why I've doubled down on my show is I haven't figured out a way to support a family from it, but I love it and other people love it. So I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
Figure out how to not squeeze the lemon and make a bunch of money. That's not the goal, but figure out a way to pay the bills and keep the show going. And maybe that's good enough. So keep the faith. Take a deep breath and keep the faith. It'll all work out, but live the life the way you want to live your life. You only get one life. And if you try to figure out a way to only make your parents happy or make society happy, or I really want to be an artist, but lawyer sounds better because I got a job and my dad did this. Don't do that to yourself. Live the way you want to live. You're never too old to start something new.
Where can we find you? TBD Pod, can you plug all of the things?
Yeah, Tampa Bay Developer is the name of the handle on, I believe, everything. My producer started a TikTok, so we're on TikTok now. Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Our full episodes are on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. Our Instagram page has some other cool stuff that we don't share on any other social platform. It's almost like a news source of a lot of cool stuff going on. Make sure to follow the Instagram. And then I do have a website, garrettgreco.com, which we're building out. But yeah, check it out.
Awesome.
And I'm also, my email is garrett@tbdpod. I love talking to people too. If someone has an interesting idea regarding anything we've talked about today, shoot me an email.
Yeah.
Happy to link up.
Love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. This was great. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you so much.
And I guess that's for today. Until next time, until I bug you again to chat with me.
I'll come anytime.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome.